Psalm 15. Psalm 15, in reading in verse number 1.
We'll read the whole thing tonight. Psalm 15, verse 1. The Bible says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Father, I thank you tonight for your word, and I pray that you would just accomplish in our lives tonight your perfect will. I pray you convince and convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, and that we recognize that we're in need of you, and we recognize tonight that only you can bring about that peace in our lives, and only you can bring about your purpose in which we were created for in our lives. Would you do it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we spoke this morning, of course, on the blood of Jesus Christ, and about certainly the wickedness of the world and the lies that are coming, that are thrown at us and in certain areas, we think of the homosexual agenda tonight. We think of the things that are being thrown at us and what we're supposed to deal with. We think of the extortion that's going on, the money laundering, all right, the hate crimes. We think of abortion, all these things. And we think of all the wicked devices of mankind. And it's bad enough that to have those things in a society. But, you know, most of America flip on their television set or whatever, and they watch these things for entertainment, you see. And I'll tell you, before I got saved and before my eyes were open to some of these things, and even after I got saved a while, there's some things we watch that are sin that entertains us. We've got to really rethink that as Christians. Are we truly going to live as Christians, you see? But as we think of the family or of course, the home and the workplace, the church, the community, there is one thing that will stand head and shoulders above the rest. Folks, that's somebody who really, truly walks with God, who truly has a heart for God and wants Him and desires Him. And may I say, obeys Him. You see, a man or a woman that walks with the God of heaven will be certainly noticed. Under communism, he's the first man to go into prison. Okay, he's the first fella. Why? Because he's noticed. And people notice there's just a difference with that guy. There's a difference with that lady. There's something different. Hey, listen, there's something different about her spirit. Little fella coming back there, yeah. But as we come into Psalm 15, we see some guidelines we need to follow. It says here in verse 15, or in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? May I put it the way it is here? Who's going to fellowship with God? Who's going to have that sweet fellowship with God, that tenderness? To know the gentle and merciful Savior. I'm going to challenge you tonight. I got the home crowd here tonight. All right? I'm going to challenge you. Do you know Him intimately? Do you know His tenderness? His goodness? Have you experienced His mercy? Do you experience His mercy and His forgiveness firsthand? Yeah, folks, we need forgiveness every day. Do you know His gentleness? Do you understand why He says the servant of the Lord should not strive but be gentle unto all men? Because that's how he is. You see. Yeah, I don't like this homosexual agenda coming down. We need to call it what it is. We need to call it sin. We need to do it kindly. This may not be taken kindly. It's usually not. But at the same time, folks, you as a believer ought not be for sale. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, just for the sake of peace and the sake of keeping everything right, I'll just hold off on saying this or that. No, we shouldn't be for sale. You see, it shouldn't be we'll just let this go this time. You know, no, we need to kindly go ahead and stand up for what's right. And in that, we need to, and again, we're talking about this fellowship with God, this intimacy. We think of the hymn, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still in the roses. And he walks with me and he talks with me. Do you experience that? Do you know about that? That's the difference. That's what's going to make the man of God, a woman of God. That's what's going to bring about Christ's character and the sweet savor of who he is. Is that in your workplace? It should be if you're there. Right? It should be in our homes. In our lives. The little fellow wouldn't bother me. No. Again. So, we're talking about fellowship here. And it says in verse 2, it says, he that walketh uprightly. That's the guy. That's the lady that's going to have this fellowship with God. I want to tell you, it's a delight. But here's the thing. That fellowship costs us something. It costs us time. It costs us obedience, really, a living sacrifice. Doing what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. But it is sweet. A man must walk uprightly. He's going to fellowship with God. This uprightly simply means integrity. Man is moral. He's honest. I first got saved. And of course, we were in that Bible study there with Dean. And there was a bunch of us in there. And as I look back on that, I remember some key things of even a bunch of us. We started to get the Bible in us, and it began to change us. When you get saved, there's a change. And we couldn't get enough of that word. So much so, we wanted to go to Dean's on Thursday night. Have that Bible study. Plus on Sunday morning. And I remember I worked at Penn State University at the time, and I went down there to the the Shade Tree Symposium that they sent us to every year, all right? And my brother Becker going, yeah, he's been to that. And, you know, there was another fellow I knew, a friend of mine, worked for Meek's Tree Service, okay? And he was down there too, and we both just got saved. And there was a world going on that we didn't quite understand. We were changing. We were one. He came over to my hotel room because he stayed in the Holiday Inn down there, my hotel room down there. And we were flipping through the Bible. And his boss comes into the room and he says, hey, boys, him and another fella says, hey, boys, he says, we're going down here to the bar. They're having drinks right now, he says. And, I didn't say anything. I just put my head down, you know, and my friend says, no, that's okay. We're okay right now. We're good. Well, what are you doing? Well, we're just going through the Bible. Now, let me tell you something. I wasn't a guy in high school going through the Bible. I was a guy doing all the wrong things. And so was my friend. and you know him. And here we are going through the Bible together in a hotel room with nobody else around. Open bar. You see? An old Ed Meek says, well, the other guy, Dave, he says, yeah, he said, you telling me these two are going to stand here? They're going to sit here and read the Bible? Where's an open bar down there? Of course, my friend says, yeah, he says, that's just what we're going to do. He said, but thanks anyway, he said. He's polite about it. Old Ed Meek stands there and he says, I'll tell you what about that guy. He says, he said, don't even worry about it. He says, if that's what he says he's going to do, he says, that's what he's going to do. That's just the way he is. Now listen, you know God was working then so much in our lives. And the sweetness of obedience, to remember that first love, how God was, what he was doing, how he was working. People notice that. But may I say, listen, I'm speaking to some of you who've been saved for years. We need that sweet savor on our lives, folks. We need that love relationship with the Savior now. We need to love him supremely. Because the Lamb's worthy of it. He saved us out of the world to make us something different. We need to walk uprightly. You see. Romans 8 verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells us. It is the blood of Christ that makes us righteous. And there's a change. There's a heart change in a saved man or a saved woman. That can't be denied. Galatians 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. What's the Spirit? The Spirit of God is literally the third person of the Trinity. He's the Godhead. How do we walk in the Spirit? Who wrote this? God wrote it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What did he say? All. The Spirit wrote it. And when God's word and we're obeying it, guess whose will we're doing?
His.
Walk in the Spirit and he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Man, Cindy, you're in there at work. I'm at the home crowd. I can just call out names today, right? Cindy, you're in there at work. And somebody really gives it to you because folks give it to you sometimes. That's just how it is in life. And everybody else sees it. And instead of Cindy getting all fired up and just telling them how it is, she says something polite or nice. And people are blowed back. Huh? That's Christ being revealed. That's what it is. I just said blowed, didn't I? Yes, sir.
Blows her mind.
Why? Because she's not fulfilling lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh is just want it the way I want it. Colossians 1 verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Our walk matters, folks. For we walk by faith, not by sight. By faith. In the Word of God. But number three here we see, whatever number it is. Number two, he speaks the truth in his heart. Oh, this is something. This is something. I know a man who apologized to a fella about something on the job site, and he said, "Hey, you know, I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't act like that. My attitude was wrong, and it was sin." And the guy was all mad about it. The fella apologized about this certain thing that happened, and the other fella was really ripped off about it. But after he apologized, the guy stood there and he said, yeah, well, I wouldn't call it sin. Well, you know, when we call it what it is, that makes a world of difference. No, it was sin. People don't know how to handle it. I'm talking about speaking the truth in your heart. Have a disagreement and your pride gets hurt and, oh, never admit, oh, no, well, I can't admit that I was wrong. See, that's not speaking the truth in heart. The guy that's going to have sweet fellowship is going to be a man, a woman. Says, no, I was wrong here. I shouldn't have been that way. We always, a lot of times, we want to sweep the dirt under the rug, you know. But it's still under there. Well, let's not just talk about that. I bet across this nation tonight, there's dirt underneath rugs, in marriages, in homes, that there's a lump in the room about this high. And they wonder, why is this so difficult? Pride. Don't want to speak the truth in my heart. Don't want that. Not the light. I'll have to admit something. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Fellowship one with another? Is that God's word or what? If there's not fellowship, there's not walking in the light. You see. God called me to preach there, a year or so after I got saved. And I just couldn't shut my mouth about the word and everything. But I was scared to death to get in front of people. And I remember one night at Calvary Bible Church, this is the home crowd, and I'm going to say it the way it is and just tell you what happened. I'm even going to give names, okay? And I remember they asked me if I'd preach to the Awana class, to the little kids up there at Calvary. Now, Bunny was in charge of that at the time, and she's not here tonight and whatever, or wasn't in charge of it. Some of the fellows were in charge of it, but Bunny did a lot of it. You know how she does with the kids. I went up there and I preached that night to those Awana kids. And I went up there to that pulpit with fear and trembling. I remember my notes, you know, like this. I was so scared. And I want to tell you, I began to give those kids what God had given me, at least I felt. And I had no training. I didn't go to Bible college. I just tell them, taking the word and giving it to them. And I'd given my testimony in that and told those kids. And I want to tell you what, you could have heard a pin drop in that place. Those kids listened so well. And God worked. Somebody come up to me afterward and said, oh boy, you did such a good job. Yeah. You did such a good job. Oh, you know, that's going and told me how good I did. And I really believed it. No, I really did. And I don't want to tell you that here tonight. But I'm going to speak the truth in my heart here a little bit. And then they asked me a couple weeks later to do it again. I said, oh, yeah, I can do that. And the trouble is, I showed up, but the Lord didn't. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I got up there all confident, and I got up there, and I had my message there. I want to tell you, folks, I just absolutely fell apart. It was embarrassing. I didn't know what I was going to say. The kids are throwing airplanes around. And I had to go to God and say, God, I thought I was some great preacher. Yes, sir, that's what I had to tell him. I thought I was really something that I didn't even have to worry about studying, or I didn't have to worry about getting your blessing on it. Didn't even pray a lick. The first time, buddy, I just felt so beside myself. How in the world am I going to do this? Second time? No, sir. Pride. And I go to God and say, no, I thought I was some great preacher and I'm sorry. I sinned against you. It's embarrassing to even tell you that tonight, but I want to tell you something. We can go to God with every single thing that we think. You say, no, that's too embarrassing. No, God wants to hear the embarrassing whole part of it. It says in the book of Psalms, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. He's a refuge for us when we go to Him and say, Lord, you know, I really tried to manipulate my wife, or I really tried to manipulate my husband, and I'm sorry. Then we go to the husband or the wife and say, you know, I tried to manipulate you about this, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done this. Here's what I was thinking. Here's the intent of my heart. You say, well, I can't do that. What would the people think? I'll tell you what it does. It takes a marriage and makes it look like that. That's a fact. I remember one time, June wasn't very old. And I like sweet tea, you know. And I'll tell you, I like lemon in mine. And there was only one lemon left. And June wanted lemon too. Do you remember that, baby? She remembers it. That kid remembers that. I don't even think the other ones were born yet, you know. She remembers it. Yeah. And I said, yeah, well, I'm going to have this. And I put it right in my drink. Yep. And I'll tell you what, 10, 15 minutes went by. And I just couldn't stand it. I was just so convicted. It was ridiculous. But I knew I did exactly what I shouldn't have done. Go to that little girl and say, listen, I was selfish, and I promise you the next time we get lemons, you get them. And she did. Listen, how about you tonight? What do you got stuffed underneath the rug? Whole carcass, some of you. Huh? Think of it. It's time to come clean, amen? It's time to get some things nailed down so we speak the truth in our hearts and we can now rejoice then in the blessing of God and the things that He's given us. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Listen, folks, it's the heart. God's after the heart. All the things we see, all the things we do, pfft-ooey, He wants your heart, friend. Does He have your heart? Everything can look good on the outside and be as rotten to the core, man. Speaking the truth in our hearts. If we say we have fellowship with Him, John, 1 John 1 and verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, the Bible says we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God knows it. But you know what? The light of His Spirit, the light of His Word, searches our hearts. And you hear me well today, friends. The Spirit of God will not let you down. If you are saved, He'll show you if you are willing. He wants you to come to Him. Isn't the Lamb that was slain worthy to receive the reward for His sufferings? He's worthy. Don't we owe it to Him? Need to speak the truth in our hearts. We look here at verse 3. It says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. Backbiting. To attack the character or reputation of one not present. When I worked at Penn State University, worked there in the landscape department, and there was four guys on the tree crew, 30 landscape guys, and it never failed. The boss would come around, everybody's nice to him. When he'd walk around the corner, they'd say how bad he was. All right, and it always happened. Now, I was a young guy, and, you know, I didn't know everything was going on, but I knew this, that those guys didn't respect that boss at all. And And I knew this, that I sure didn't respect him either after they were talking. Okay. So, but again, all that did was, it just created division, you know, in that shop and everything. And but I say all that to say that's neither here nor there. That happens, but listen, folks, it ought not happen here in Grace Baptist Church. We have got to be a people who speak the truth in our hearts, and we need a unity. Listen, there is a young crowd coming. We've got some young ones. We've got to train them. We ought to have a vision. There ought to be some preachers come out of this crowd, amen? I mean some fearless young preachers. Preacher boys. Yes. And some young girls that surrender their hearts to the ministry of the Word of God to marry a preacher. You say, that can't happen. It most certainly does. And I want to say something very clearly. Preaching is not an occupation. It is a calling. It is a holy calling from a holy God. And God sanctifies and separates His preachers out. He does it because He wills it. And it's a fact. For His purposes. And again, we've got to understand with our young people, well, we want them to preach, so we're going to push them along here. No, you know, I'd love for my boy to be a preacher, but God's got to call him to do it. There's too many preachers out here. There's too many women in pulpits out here that aren't even for life or even called a lick. But they're the pastor. No, they're not. All right? They're not. That book says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, if a man desire the office of a bishop, man or woman, a man, he is to be the husband of but one wife. A wife can't be the husband of but one wife. Can't. That doesn't mean they can't preach. Doesn't mean they can't proclaim God's word. Doesn't mean they can't tell people the gospel. Doesn't mean there's not a place for them. But the pastor, it's not it. And there's some things I see coming ahead down the road. This world's going to try to stuff into our church if we don't have our convictions and have our stand. I know we're doing some bylaws and things, and that's great. But nonetheless, here I'm speaking about backbiting with his tongue. How I got off in that, I don't know. But backbiting. We don't want to do that here. The word devil means false accuser, slanderer. Job 27, verses 3 and 4. All the while, this is Job said this. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor utter deceit. Boy, I need that in my life. All too many times my lips uttered wickedness and deceit. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Listen, we've got to confront things. I understand it. We must do it politely. I can't stress that enough. I had an old preacher tell me one time, he said, Ben, he said, we need the right stand. He said, the right stand is so important. He said, but we need to stand right. And that's with a sweet spirit. And the servant of the Lord, again, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and the lips are the snare of his soul. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. James 3 and verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame, and is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to thee, so edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, if we'll follow those instructions, you know what our homes would be like? You know what our church would be like? We're working on it, amen? Yes, sir. I believe we are. And I praise God for that. Man of God, number four here. Look at verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Do you know what that simply means? If you say something, do it. That's what it means. I remember one time this guy was going to get married, and it was in Bible college, and I befriended him. It seems like I befriended a lot of the out guys. The guy, in other words, the guys that weren't cookie cutter ambassador students. You know what I'm talking about? And I seemed to draw those fellas, but I loved them. And he didn't help me with my tree work and stuff. You know what I mean? They were, whatever. But anyway, this one fella, he was going to get married. Met a girl there. Of course, he was having trouble and almost getting kicked out of school. And he just hated the rules and felt like his tie was a noose. You know, he'd walk around the school going like this. You know, like it was a noose. I mean, he just fooling around, guy. He just couldn't handle it. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I befriended him and we talked a lot. He helped me with jobs and everything. And he asked me if I'd be in his wedding. I said, sure, I will. I'll do that, you know. And, of course, some time passed, a year or so passed, and the fella seemed like he was going downhill rather than uphill. Do you know what I mean? And I heard it got windy. He's going to have beer and stuff at his wedding, a big, reception and stuff. And I thought, I just can't do this. Drive the whole way to Tennessee to do this? Crazy? I didn't know what to do. And I'm beside myself. I remember in that little trailer in Ellenboro, North Carolina, Jennifer and I are just torn about this thing. And my wife, you know anything about her, she's about half. She's like a prophet. You know, no, we can't do this. Or, you know, she's got it nailed down the way she's going to handle it, you know. But we were both just beside ourselves about it. And I thought, well, I prayed about it. I thought, I'm going to get some counsel. I called an old preacher. I said, brother, what do you think about this? He says, well, Brother Ben, the Bible says in Psalm 15, I just love that kind of advice. And I love those kind of preachers. And I love those kind of brothers. We need to be those kind of brothers in this church. Well, the Bible says, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. The old preacher says, now, Brother Ben, you made a promise. He said, and I understand your situation. He says, and I certainly understand it. He said, but you need to uphold your promise and make it very clear. Now, sometimes you can't uphold a promise, and I understand that. There are some things you just can't do. But in this situation, I explained it to him. He says, what you need to do is make it very clear. You will not be at that reception. You will not have anything to do with that. And he is in need of a rebuke. That's what he told me. Well, I ended up, make a long story short, I go down, there was no alcohol, there was no reception, bad, nothing. And it worked out fine. But I say all that to say, we do need to keep our promises. And we need to take it very seriously. I remember a young boy, as Dad and Mom were divorced, and he lived with his mom. And all week, now this kid was probably 12 or 13. All week he just says, yep, Dad's coming Friday. Dad's coming Friday and we're going to do this and this and this. And that kid was all fired up, telling his mother, telling everybody. And Jennifer and I were just there visiting. We knew all about what him and his dad were going to do. Friday night comes 6 o'clock. Guy didn't show up. Kid sitting on the steps, he's looking out the window. Next thing you know, 7 o'clock rolls by, 8 o'clock. That kid's still sitting on the steps. Come 9 o'clock, it's dark. I see tears rolling down his face. He goes up the stairs, and that's it. We didn't see him the rest of the night, and we didn't see him the next day. Listen, we've got to keep our promises. I've got young people here tonight. Someday you're going to stand at a marriage altar, a lot of you. Buddy, you better nail it down in your heart and your mind. Number one, the kind of fella or the kind of lady you want to marry. And it better be somebody who knows that book and loves God. Because if it's not, I'm going to say it as sure as I can say it, it's hell on earth. You don't want that. And if you're going to marry the right person, you must be the right person now. You must get in this book. You must fellowship with the Savior, Jesus Christ, day in, day out. Give the Lamb the glory that He deserves. Give Him the time in your life that He deserves. Hey, shouldn't we adults be doing the same? He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. How many in here tonight have dedicated their lives to the Lord and given something over to Him and then took it back? I don't know. What's God speaking to you about? I don't know. But a man's only as good as his word. We've got to be men and women that keep our promises. Look at the last verse here. It says, man of God is a person. He putteth not out his money to usury. Now what's that mean? It means he didn't collect interest on it. The Israelites were all brothers. They were a people. They were God's people. And they were not to get rich on each other like the banks get rich on everybody today. Okay? Anyway, that's what that's talking about there. And then it comes on down here. It says, nor taketh reward against the innocent. What's it mean to take reward against the innocent? I know a contractor has good business. Lady called him up, said, hey, I want you to come down and do this work for me. He said, okay. He said, I'll give you a price on that. She says, nope, just come to her. He's down there, God does the work. God does it in half the time, the lady thought. And she said, so what's my bill? She said, I want to go, I want to pay my bill, what, $1,200? This one. And she starts naming numbers. Guy says, no, ma'am. It'll be half of what you thought. That guy knew he could get what he wanted. But listen, the Bible says, don't take reward against the innocent. You see. You know, a situation where a pastor came into town. Listen, folks, there's some poor excuses in the ministry today. I'm just going to tell you that. That's a shame, and I hate to say it. But let's be real about it, okay? Wouldn't give a nickel for some of the testimonies out there. I hate that. Call themselves preachers. But anyway, this guy comes into this town. I don't know if he's going to plant a church or he's going to pastor a church that's already there. And this family's going through a hard time. This guy's going through a divorce, and he's up in the yard. He's got the real estate sign out there, and the preacher goes in there, and the guy finds out he's a Baptist preacher, and he begins to pour his heart out and tell him all that, what went on in his marriage and how his wife left and all these things that took place, and now he's got to sell the house, and nobody's interested in it, and the market's out on the thing, and the whole nine yards. And the preacher asked him what he wanted for the house. Guy told him what he needed. Preacher offered him half. Reluctantly, guy gave it over to him half. Now, I would ask a question, though. Are those people ever going to go to that preacher for spiritual advice? Never. Listen, it matters how we do business. It matters how we operate. It matters whether or not we take advantage of others. We ought to be the most generous ones. The Christians ought to be the most generous. You know what I find out a lot? Sometimes Christians are the stingiest people on earth. I'm in business. I know. Stand back, scratch your head. Listen, let God have His way. Let God have his way. No, sir. Can we just walk in the light? Can we just live in the light? Can we just be real and be honest? I want to tell you what, the testimony like that in this local church, all right, God won't take our candlestick. You know what I'm talking about? Book of the Revelation? He won't be spewing us out of his mouth. No, sir. We don't want to lose our first love. We want to carry on and give him the glory that he rightfully deserves. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for your word, how gracious you are to us. And I thank you, Lord, that it's a relationship that you're after with us. I thank you, God, that it is your, you want us to give you our hearts. And I praise you for that, my King. I thank you that you're not a tyrant, but you're a glorious master who loves his people, his sons. And I praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.